While land degradation resulting from all those causes is Australia's most expensive environmental problem, other sets of serious problems deserve briefer mention. Those involving forestry, marine fisheries, and freshwater itself. Apart from Antarctica, Australia is the continent with proportionately the least area covered by forests, only about 20% of the continent's total area. Of Australia's forests standing at the time of European settlement in 1788, 40% have already been cleared, 35% have been partly logged, and only 25% remain intact. Nevertheless, logging of that small area of remaining old-growth forests is continuing and constitutes yet another instance of mining the Australian landscape. The export uses, in addition to domestic consumption, to which timber logged from Australia's remnant forest is being put, are remarkable. Of forest product exports, half are not in the form of logs or finished materials, but are turned into wood chips and sent mostly to Japan, where they are used to produce paper and its products and make up one quarter of the material in Japanese paper. While the price that Japan pays to Australia for those wood chips has dropped to $7 per ton, the resulting paper sells in Japan for $1,000 per ton. At the same time as it exports wood chips, Australia imports nearly three times more forest products than it exports, with more than half of those imports being in the form of paper and paperboard products. One expects to encounter that particular type of asymmetry not in the trade relations between two first-world countries, but instead when an economically backwards, non-industrialized third-world colony, unsophisticated in negotiations, deals with a first-world country sophisticated at exploiting third-world countries. That is, it would appear that Australia is squandering a valuable resource and receiving little money for it. The continued logging of old-growth forests is giving rise to one of the most passionate environmental debates in Australia today. Most of the logging and the fiercest debate are going on in the state of Tasmania, where Tasmania bluegums, at up to 305 feet tall, some of the world's tallest remaining trees outside of California, are now being logged faster than ever. Both of Australia's major political parties favor continued logging. A possible reason is suggested by the fact that, after the National Party announced its strong support for Tasmanian logging in 1995, it became known that the party's three biggest financial contributors were logging companies. The mining of Australia's marine fisheries resembles that of its forests. Australia's marine populations tend to have low growth rates, so that they are easily overfished. Australia has exhibited a history of marine overfishing, mining one stock until it is depleted to uneconomically low levels, then discovering a new fishery and switching to it until it too collapses within a short time, like a gold rush. After a new fishery opens, a scientific study by marine biologists may be initiated to determine the maximal sustainable harvesting rates. But the fishery is at risk of collapsing before recommendations from the study become available. The only Australian marine fishery for which there are well-supported claims of sustainable harvesting involves the Western Australian rock lobster population, which is currently Australia's most valuable seafood export. As for freshwater, Australia is the continent with the least of it. Most of that little freshwater that is readily accessible to populated areas is already utilized for drinking or agriculture. Even the country's largest river, the Murray Darling, has two-thirds of its total water flow drawn off by humans in an average year, and in some years, virtually all of its water. Australia's freshwater sources that remain unutilized consist mainly of rivers in remote northern areas, far from human settlements or agricultural lands where they could be put to use. As Australia's population grows, and as its unutilized supplies of fresh water dwindle, some settled areas may be forced to turn to more expensive desalinization for their fresh water. There is already a desalinization plant on Kangaroo Island, and one may be needed soon on the Eyre Peninsula. In addition to those problems of water quantity, accessibility, and use, there are also issues of water quality. Utilized rivers contain toxins, pesticides, or salts from upstream that reach urban drinking areas and agricultural irrigation areas downstream. Examples that I already mentioned are the salt and agricultural chemicals from the Murray River that furnishes much of Adelaide's drinking water, and the pesticides from New South Wales and Queensland cotton fields that jeopardize the marketability of downstream attempts to grow chemical-free wheat and beef.